This is Rafe Jenkins podcast, E2E, entrepreneur to entrepreneur. And it's not every day that you get to talk to a Navy SEAL. Make sure that you follow me on Facebook at Rafe Jenkins TV. Make sure that you share this podcast with your friends, because today we're talking to Brent Gleason, a Navy SEAL, and we're going to be talking about what it's like being a Navy SEAL. Hey, Brent, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as a bit of background, I grew up in Dallas, Texas. Did my undergraduate education at Southern Methodist University, degrees in finance, economics, also studied at Oxford University during that time, played rugby. And upon graduation, I took a job as a financial analyst with a rather large investment firm. But I also had a close friend of mine in college, actually one of my fraternity brothers, who was a year behind me in school. And he was one of these guys who was very focused and determined to join the Navy and attempt to try out for the Navy SEAL selection program. This was, keep in mind, just before 9/11. I graduated from SMU in 1999. So as a way to stay in shape while I was working out in corporate America and help a friend prepare for what would notably be a rough journey, we started training together. And during that time, during all of our conversations about his path forward, I started becoming obviously more intrigued by the history of the SEAL teams, the culture of the Naval Special Warfare community, how it's been forged, those values that subsequently go along with being part of what is essentially the most elite and feared special operations fighting force in the world. I started reading every book I could find and became more and more fascinated with his undertaking. And essentially that, coupled with the somewhat boring nature of my entry-level analyst position, over about a year and a half time, I decided to leave that job and live a life without regret, give a cause bigger than myself. I didn't realize how big that cause would be at the time, because again, this was still peacetime. But I quit my job, and then he and I actually moved up to Crested Butte, Colorado, to train for an additional 6 months for about 5 hours a day at 10,000 feet altitude. So in early 2000, I joined the Navy. Out of 250 students, 23 of us graduated from the BUDS program. That's the first 6 months of the 18-month training pipeline, where they weed everybody out essentially in the first month. And went on to SEAL Team 5. Afghanistan had spun up by then, because 9/11 was literally 2 days before we started the advanced portion of SEAL training for my class, which of course transformed the entire culture, structure, and mindset of the United States military in its entirety, especially at the tip of the spear with special operations. And I equate a lot of what I write about in the book and some of my articles to business transformation and the transformation the United States military has had to undergo and pretty much is in a constant state of change in this post 9/11 reality that we exist in. My task unit of 30 SEALs from SEAL Team 5 we were the first SEALs in Iraq in spring of 2003. Did a couple combat tours there, tour in Africa, some other places, but had not planned on doing it as a career. So I stuck with my plan, got out, went to graduate school, and have since started and sold a couple pretty successful companies. I've been building a speaking and leadership management consulting practice for the last 5 years. I speak all over the world to global organizations and medium-sized businesses, and that is kind of what has taken me to where I am today. And a lot of that experience, both in the military and in business, is what inspired the book Taking Point, which is my first book, a business transformation and leadership book, coming out on February 20th. And that takes us to where we are here.
All right. So one of my buddies came back from BUDS. He didn't make it. But as much information as you can give, tell us about BUDS.
BUDS is, again, one of our many acronyms we have in the United States military, and it stands for Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL, which is a throwback to our forefathers in the underwater demolition teams during World War II. But SEALs really became what they are today, were rebirthed during Vietnam as a primary special operations assault force. And BUDS is the first 6 months of the 18-month training and selection pipeline. It's broken into three phases. First phase is what they call physical training. it's a a very politically correct way of putting it, but that's where they weed everybody out. Those first 2 months, you have 3 weeks leading up to Hell Week, which is just as hard. You'll lose about half your class during those weeks preceding Hell Week, and then during Hell Week, you'll lose predominantly the rest of the class. Later on, you'll lose others to performance drops or getting rolled back to other classes for injuries and whatnot, but the majority of the class will be weeded out in that first 6 months. Then you go on to the second phase, which is combat diving. That's where you learn about both open circuit as well as our closed circuit oxygen loop rebreather called the Draeger. And you learned nighttime combat diving. And then third phase is land warfare, demolition, and all that good stuff. Then, again, the key word in basic underwater demolition is basic. You're learning to move, shoot, communicate in the most basic form. But then you go on to SQT or SEAL qualification training after that. That's when you really start taking it up a notch. You're under the microscope for all things naval special warfare, including close quarters combat, urban combat, land warfare, demolition, combat diving, air operations, maritime operations, pretty much everything under that umbrella, you're learning how to become an expert in. And then you go on to various other schools like free fall school, language schools, and then you'll graduate and go to your team.
Wow. So tell us about what it was like being a Navy SEAL.
It was a fascinating experiment of mind and body. Admittedly, my initial reasoning for going in was, like others, somewhat selfish. I kind of wanted to see if I could do that and check the box. A fantastic resume builder, if you will. But once 9/11 happened, it really transformed everybody's mindset and the way we saw reality around us, that we were going to be going to war and immediately going to war. Just a matter of what team you're on and when you're going to rotate downrange. And those experiences, while of course part of the sacrifices is the things you've done, the things you've seen, the things you haven't done and the lives you couldn't save, but that is part of the sacrifice, and that's not just held by the operators but held by their families, spouses, and close friends. You know, all sacrifice when our warfighters go downrange to take the fight to the enemy. That's one thing that's important, and I continue to serve by being on the executive board of the SEAL Family Foundation and also mentoring young guys into the program. So that's kind of my calling post-operator as far as supporting the NSW community and building resilient families and preparing warfighters for what will be quite a journey, especially for those who choose to do it as a career.
Yeah. So now you're a business owner, and tell us how what you learned from being a Navy SEAL that also relates to being a business owner.
There's a lot of things, actually. I think the concepts of discipline, accountability, building high-performance teams founded on the principles of extremely high levels of internal trust and transparency and communication. Those are core tenets of a special operations team, and they work well in today's more volatile and uncertain business landscape where things are constantly changing. But one of the things that's really critical is leading through change and leading transformation. When you're in a SEAL team or a Green Beret ODA units or, you know, a tier one special operations asset, you're dealing with constant change. And that's something that pretty much every business organization, large and small across the globe, has to deal with now more than ever. It's a core function of leadership, but in the organizations that are really thriving in the 21st century, it involves all, if not as many people in the organization to help build more nimble, dynamic, and resilient organizational structures and cultures so that businesses can deal with the changes they face, not just today, but any type of change and obstacles they'll face tomorrow. So building resilient teams that are more dynamic amidst uncertainty is something that I've really taken away and tried to apply to the cultures I've built in my companies. Personally speaking, I would say if I had to point to one thing, it's a matter of better stress management.
Yeah.
Dealing with adversity. If somebody's not trying to kill me or blow me up, then these are problems that we can probably navigate. And usually once you collect the right data and build a plan around it, then you realize that most of those problems aren't as big and scary as you initially think.
That's awesome. Wow. So tell us a little bit more about your business.
The business now, I sold my last company a little over a year ago. That was a rather large digital marketing agency. But the current business is relatively simple in its current state. It's a leadership and management consulting firm. The majority of what I've done over the past 5 years is your more traditional keynote speaking. I don't necessarily like the term motivational speaking because I think motivation is fleeting. People need to be self-motivated and disciplined. But I aim to do three things. One is, yes, inspire. Yes, motivate. But more importantly, educate. So I take what I've learned and applied in the SEAL teams, but also one thing that's somewhat unique about me is I've actually built and sold successful businesses. So you can't really speak about those things authentically unless you actually apply those in a business setting from a leadership perspective and a culture perspective. And that's what I'm really passionate about. The book itself is designed to be the foundation of a more detailed consulting practice around business transformation. So the next step for this year is to continue to build out that curriculum that the book is the foundation of, and apply that curriculum to current and prospective organizations that are dealing with change, which is a large majority of the clients I've worked with and will be working with this year. So it's relevant to pretty much all businesses these days. So that's kind of where the evolution has started. My first keynote, ironically, of this type was for Bank of America, Merrill Lynch in Hong Kong. I had never done anything like this before. The president of APAC had read one of my Forbes articles, in fact, the very first Forbes article I'd ever written, and he liked how I applied special operations culture and the way we build high-performance teams and how it's applicable to the business world, and invited me out. And of course, I said yes, because I'm an entrepreneur, and we say yes to everything,
right,
right or wrong, and it's just evolved from there.
That's awesome. Hey, this is the time in the podcast where I open it up for you to share anything that's on your mind. So go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, one thing that people always ask me, especially when I'm, you know, sometimes mentoring entrepreneurs or, you know, I write for Inc. magazine and for Forbes as well, largely entrepreneurial audiences. But you know, you often get those questions. Well, what, you know, what's some advice that you wish you had had starting out as an entrepreneur, building businesses? What are some of the mistakes and roadblocks and hurdles that you had to overcome that you wish someone had taught you more about? And of course, these aren't things you learn in graduate school. They aren't even things necessarily that you learn you know, as an entrepreneur your first day out of the gate. You learn by trial by fire, so to speak, in large part how we learn just in life in general. But some of those things are one of the areas I really fell short in is as an entrepreneur, you start off with a business plan. Sometimes you raise money, whatever it is, but you're, you know, one of the sayings we have in the SEAL teams is don't run to your death. You know, you're trying to grow, you're trying to sell, you're trying to build shareholder value. You're trying to be first to market. You're trying to beat out the competition or be sort of the first on the battlefield with a new product, whatever it is. You're always looking to the landscape for new competitors, new opportunities, but also new threats. And oftentimes you're going so quickly that you don't think about the foundational elements of your company, of your brand, that are going to really take you to the next level once you really get established. You're not thinking typically about culture, core values, hiring for those, you know, for those types of principles. And you're not really oftentimes building a brand around those foundational elements because you're going to step seven when you really should be thinking about steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to build a great brand. Because as any entrepreneurs, one day you're a guy with an idea, next thing you know, you got a team, and then a bigger team, and then a bigger team, and you're a leader and someone people are looking to be inspired and to understand the vision of the organization. What is our mission concept? How can we be involved? And today's workforce cares deeply about the mission, the values, the purpose, the work environment, and really what the organization stands for. They want to feel emotionally connected to that cause. And if you don't give them that, they're not going to be as engaged as you need. And there's plenty of Gallup research out there showing that today's workforce is relatively disengaged. Globally, disengagement's at about 67%. And a disengaged workforce is not going to take your organization to the next level. That 15% of actively engaged team members isn't enough in today's more volatile business landscape. So focusing on culture, focusing on engagement, and really aligning a team, whether it be a team of five or a team of 250, behind that mission narrative is critical. It's how we do it in the SEAL teams. Everybody's bought in, everybody's engaged, everybody's emotionally connected to that mission. And that's how great business organizations today are thriving. But oftentimes as entrepreneurs, we forget those fundamental foundational areas that really need to be addressed before you launch a business. And you really need to think about those things so you can communicate them authentically to the team.
Awesome. Brent, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, brother. And, if you need anything in the near future, don't hesitate to ask.
All right. I'll take you up on that. I have your cell phone number. I may sell your number out for anyone who wants a Navy SEAL phone number. So talk to you soon,
it's
man.
It's not as valuable as you might think.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, man.